You are listening to Discovering Virginia on the Virginia Voice. And for the Virginia Voice, I'm Lou Dean. Today, let's discover Dinosaur Kingdom 2 in the Shenandoah Valley on Route 11 near Natural Bridge. The creator of Dinosaur Kingdom 2 is Mark Klein, who joins me here. Mark, give us an audio tour of Dinosaur Kingdom 2.
Dinosaur Kingdom 2, obviously, is the second one because we had the first Dinosaur Kingdom, which was not called Dinosaur Kingdom 1. It's like people get confused, like, well, did you see Jaws 1? There was no Jaws 1, it was just Jaws. And then there was 2, 3, 4, and 5, we won't even talk about 5, it was so horrible. But anyway, back to Dinosaur Kingdom 2. This is on 15 acres, right across from the Natural Bridge Zoo. It's something that I've been dreaming about for a long time. The very first one was opened down at Natural Bridge on their property in, I think it was 2005. And it did very well, but it was only on 1 acre. And it was there as a supplement to what we had called the Professor Klein's Haunted Monster Museum. So in other words, when people were waiting in line, they needed something to, you know, to occupy themselves. So they went through the first Dinosaur Kingdom. Well, that became so popular that, and we closed because we had a major fire there. And but Dinosaur Kingdom 2 is sort of the sequel. It's the first one happened in 1863. This one happens in 1864. So you know what else happened in 1864 here in the United States?
The nation split.
Yes, we were in the throes of the Civil War. So this takes place during the Civil War. Dinosaurs and Yankee soldiers, can you imagine? Okay.
Now, let's be sure. You're putting dinosaurs, which were ages ago, into the American Civil War.
Yeah, I think it was left out of the history books. This was just a small chapter.
I must have missed that.
I think even the people that were writing the history, they were so so stunned by this that they thought, no, this couldn't have really happened. So it's all in legend and so forth. So anyway, and in 1864, the Yankees had raided Lexington. It was called Hunter's Raid. And they were on their way to Lynchburg. Well, some of them veered off a little bit. And, you know, lo and behold, they decided they wanted to detour and see Natural Bridge, but they had to go over top of parts of Natural Bridge caverns where there was rumblings underneath in the subterranean tunnels, and these things came up. Well, anyway, these Yankees, being as dastardly as they are, sorry, folks, that are from the, above the Mason-Dixon line, but they decided they were going to use these dinosaurs as weapons of mass destruction against the South. Well, it didn't work out so well. Anyway, they started turning on them. As you go through my park here, there's the ambience that we lead up to the adventure. In other words, you come up to the ticket booth, and which is a train depot. You know, we're trying to keep it all within that era. And then you buy your train your ticket, and then you go up into the train, which is being ravished by a dinosaur on top, an Allosaurus. You go through that. You go through the big, huge, tall fence that's meant to keep in the dinosaurs. A 17-foot fence out in the front. Did you see it?
Yes.
Made out of telephone poles. We wanted to make sure it was a good enough enclosure to keep in. We wanted it like the King Kong look, the King Kong dinosaur, you know, Jurassic Park look, that something big is behind there.
Although I'm not sure 17 feet is enough to contain them.
Well, in fact, we just got a letter from the Inland Game and Fisheries saying that we're about 4 or 5 inches too short in some places. And no, I'm just kidding. You know, federal guidelines say it's got to be at least 17. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, we're having a lot of fun with this, obviously. And you go through a time tunnel, then you go into a mining town. The mining town is used as the headquarters for the Yankees, and they're planning, you know, how to, you know, they're making giant horseshoes and these big harnesses and things. And then you go through the path, and all these displays depict the scenes and what's happening there. So, and there, it's interactive too. There's a lot of things that people can be a part of. Get in, have their pictures made, work some dinosaurs. Some of them are going to be animated.
Now these models are huge.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't fit in your living room, basically. They're that large.
Well, I've been building dinosaurs for a long time. If you go up to the Luray Animal Park, the very first one I built is right out in front, and that was built, I built him 31 years ago on location. It took about 11 days to build that one. He's a full-size T-Rex, and I was in my 20s. And ever since then, I mean, dinosaurs have been, you know, well, Jurassic Park came out. you know. And the last one came out just a few months ago, made $1 billion in 2 weeks. Dinosaurs have always been popular all through, I mean, ever since, you know, they found the first fossil and dinosaur bone. I mean, people have been fascinated with dinosaurs.
I've been out to South Dakota and Wyoming and Utah, where they have dinosaur quarries.
Mm-hmm.
And the bones that come out are huge, absolutely humongous.
And, you know, and the Earth is giving up more and more of these fossils every day. And it's giving up its secrets.
And what you've done at Dinosaur Kingdom 2 is marry the dinosaurs with Civil War.
Well, you know, I'm really not the first person to actually have that type of idea. There was a movie that came out when I was a kid called The Valley of the Gwangi. And it came out, I think, in the 60s. And, you know, cowboys on their horses, and they went in through some kind of canyon, and they found these. The Gwangi was, I think, some kind of a Spanish name for a giant lizard or something. And then they found these dinosaurs, and they were able to lasso one of them and bring it back. You know, this is the same old King Kong story, Lost World story. You know, you bring it into civilization, it gets loose, it runs amok, it, you know, they kill it, you know. It's so, I mean, it's an old story, but you know, they say nothing new under the sun, but it's my own twist on it.
How long will it take to go through the entire Dinosaur Kingdom 2?
Well, I think if you just decided to just to get in there and walk through and stop a few seconds at each display, we're talking at least a good 20 minutes. But, you know, people will have the opportunity to go at their own leisure. And I've had people come to my attractions and stay there for hours and hours and take photos. And it's going to be just a fun place. Nothing scary about it.
Let me take you on a detour away from Dinosaur Kingdom 2. You have created things for 20, 30 years now. You are not unknown. Give us a little history of what you have done, what you've created, and where they are now.
Well, of course, my most famous sculpture is Bonehenge, which is a full-size replica of Stonehenge. And that's here at Natural Bridge, but it's been here. That started out as an April Fool's joke in 2004. It appeared on April Fool's Day, and we're looking at looking for a new home for it now because it has to move. But I mean, I've done work.
The National Park Service is eventually taking it over.
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you think you might move it?
Well, I'm trying to find a place that's going to benefit tourism, like a small community that could use the tourism dollars. I've had people call me from all over the United States. I had to quit picking up the phone last week since it came out in ABC News, and it went international with different articles and things. And people, you wanted to put it in their backyard. Some people, but there was a botanical garden, you know, breweries, vineyards. One guy offered me $10,000 for it right out, and I had to turn him down. I said, "It's not going to be in the right area. It's not going to help anybody but you." And that's, you know, and you got to keep in mind there's going to be thousands of tourists that are going to want to come to you on your yard, and you know, what about the liability? There's a lot of things to consider. But and I told my wife, I said, "You know, honey, I turned down a free $10,000 today," and she said, "What are you nuts?" And I said, "Well, you know, it's not the first time I've come home with the magic beans, you know." So I mean,
yeah.
But there's bigger things at play here. But Bonehenge is, I guess, my most popular. But I've done work for Broadway shows, rock and roll shows, mostly theme parks, water parks, mini golfs. I don't know, just lots of.
You mentioned
billionaires. I've done. They're my favorite kind of customer, you know. Unlimited.
Money to burn.
Yeah.
You mentioned Foamhenge was an April Fool's joke. You do things on April Fool's Day that are spectacular.
Every April Fool's Day since 2001, I will go somewhere in the state of Virginia, mostly in the valley, and do something that's going to remain there for at least 30 days. Foamhenge lasted all this time because it became such a phenomenon that people loved it so much. You know, it's been on all these shows, you know, Discovery Channel, it's been on Smithsonian. I've done a lot of these shows, you know. BBC, Foamhenge was on NCIS. It was an answer on Jeopardy. But yeah, I mean, so it's been good to me. But But I get called in to look at other jobs. And if I can't make it, I'll send somebody in my company that will go down. I got a girl that just came in from New Orleans. She went down there to do some stuff. I couldn't do it. I stopped in a couple of days ago up in Rockville, Maryland. They want me to oversee a new theme park that they're building there, a $6 to $7 million theme park. It's a kid's theme. $6 to $7 million is a small park. Don't get me wrong. It's a lot of money to you and me, but it's not when you're building something like that. But they bring me in to look at these things and evaluate them. And I just feel very, very thrilled and blessed that I get to come in and people respect my opinions and thoughts on building something like this. Because I will tell you this, I've been doing this for long enough to where every job that I tackle, every job that I take on, there's not been one that I haven't seen it through and had satisfied customers. Now, there might be some things that I might have to go in and do a little bit here and there, but good reputation means everything.
Mark Klein, you've done a ghost tour.
Yeah. I got one in Lexington. Been doing this is my 20th season, and I take people through the streets of Lexington. You know, when I'm working here all day long, and I'm building things for theme parks, and I'm doing all this stuff, and you know, and I work up until the very last minute, and then I drive into Lexington, change into another outfit. I'm wearing my top hat and my black cloak, and I go to work again, and I entertain people. I do what I, you know, I'm tired, but this it inspires me again. I do my tour, and I take people through the streets of Lexington. It's a perfect town for it. It's where Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee are buried. I go right up to their places, and we do this up until about, it starts at about 8:30, ends at about 10 o'clock, and I just have a ball.
Does your wife, Sherry, take part in any of this?
Let me tell you about Sherry. My poor wife. Okay. She tells people, you know, if I could just put some Valium in Mark's coffee in the morning, I could come off the Zoloft every night. That kid, she needs a, you know, an International Sherry Day. I put her through a lot. But in all fairness, this girl, she really knows how to pull the strings, because, you know, we're like the yin and yang, but we fit. The yin and yang fits so well together. And so she keeps me grounded. We mentioned that earlier, and how she, you know, the home is my home. This is my fantasy land. This is my studio. And I do, this is my domain here. I go home. I'm the husband, and we have children. We have two daughters, beautiful people, and we live that life. But during the business, she keeps the boat floating. She does all the, you know, she does the arrangements, the scheduling. She's the CEO. You know, Walt Disney had somebody that helped him. Did you know that? Do you know who Disneyland is named after? Sounds like a trick question.
Yes.
It's actually named after two Disneys.
His daughter?
No, his brother.
Roy? Roy.
Roy. Is, if it wasn't for Roy, there would be no Disneyland.
Because Roy was the financial.
Roy, yes. He was the one that said, now, Walt, let's look at the books here. Walt would say, well, find a way. And, you know, they worked together. They were always tugging against each other. But if you didn't have that, you know, I would be out, I'm sure I'd be out in Alpha Centauri somewhere. This probably wouldn't exist. So I have to give her a lot of credit.
Mark, you work with styrofoam, foam hinges styrofoam. But you work with a lot of other media as well. When I was touring your shop earlier, there were all sorts of items there.
Yeah, the most popular item I work with is fiberglass. It's very durable outdoors. It lasts for, you know, 30, 40, 50 years outside. I mean, that's what people want. They want something that's going to hold up.
In a dinosaur kingdom, is the dinosaurs are made of?
Yeah, they're all fiberglass.
All fiberglass.
But I use foam. You saw one of my other employees in there working with foam, and he's sculpting up an American Indian. All right, well, he's first using foam, and then we're going to fiberglass over that. So, you know, there are different ways that we get to the finished product, and that's just one of the ways we do it.
You showed me a Gatling gun, and that's of a different era. How do you find a mold for that?
Well, you don't.
Today?
You have to create this from pictures that you see from, you know, off the Internet and online. And so it's not a real Gatling gun. It's a prop. I'm a professional prop maker. So, it, you know, it's the illusion of a Gatling gun. It looks like one. And so what we do is once we see what the actual piece looks like, we'll go in and say, okay, now this is the next closest thing. This is, you know, we look at PVC pipe. You know, in that case, we decided that that would be best for that. And I used a, you would never know this in a million years, the body of it is a giant ink toner. And it's, you know, comes out of these machines. I got a guy that supplies me with that. I get people that, that throw me all these shapes all the time. I observe shapes. I'm a shape observer. And just nothing is garbage to me. In fact, I'm almost heartbroken that in about a year, they're going to get rid of all the dumpsters around here. I'm probably Rockbridge County's number one dumpster diver. Nothing sacred around, you know, nothing is sacred. Anything's up for grabs.
Dinosaur Kingdom 2 is in the Shenandoah Valley. It's across from the Natural Bridge Zoo on Route 11.
Very easy.
Have to get
find.
Off a little bit of Interstate 81 to get onto US 11.
But it's on the way to Natural Bridge.
Yes. And before I leave you, Mark, you have a wide range of voices, a wide array of voices. Take us a little bit through the dinosaur park as Jimmy Stewart, for instance.
Well, now, I've already done Jimmy Stewart.
All right.
Well, how about if we do Deputy Barney Fife? If you want to hear Deputy Barney Fife and you want him to give you the tour, you better be on the edge of your seat, buddy, because I'm going to take you from that part A to part D. And we're going to stop at every one of these, and I've got something to say at every dinosaur place, and you're going to, you know what, the Stegosaurus here, and he looks like he needs to be milked. Andy, come on over here. Of course, you know, but then there's, I always have to deal with salesmen all the time, always trying to sell. And you know, the salesman that beats all salesmen is old Mr. Haney from Old Green Acres. Well, shoot, he'd sell his own mother for $2.
Oh, wait a minute. I can't leave you without doing, you ever watch The Monsters?
Okay.
Yes.
Eddie, this is your father. Don't be late for school, Eddie. Grandpa, would you please come out of the attic?
Okay, well, anyway, these were characters from the 60s. I grew up loving them and listening to them. I actually put on costumes and get hired to play these characters now. So, you ever see that show called Copycats, Rich Little?
Yes, and Rich was an excellent imitator.
So
are you.
Yeah, and I watched him. And again, so this was part of the diversion. Now I go to school, and I wasn't doing so well, so I become the class clown. The class clown needed props. I started making props. And so now you can follow the history, and here we are sitting here doing this interview.
Mark Klein is the founder, the creator, the genius behind Dinosaur Kingdom 2 on U.S. Route 11 near the Natural Bridge. Mark, thank you.
Well, my wife would argue about the genius part, but thanks for the compliment.
You're listening to Discovering Virginia on the Virginia Voice. And for the Virginia Voice, I'm Lou Dean.